Hello and welcome to the Unmissables podcast. It is our 50th episode. They said it would never happen.
Who said it?
Everyone. Steph, that's the voice of Stephanie Seelan. She's been here for almost every single one, but not quite of them.
I missed a couple.
Yeah,
but
I'm not holding against you.
Well, some of us do go on holiday. You have been saying it's, you know, a lot. True. You're not allowed to take holidays, no. Steph.
That's the voice of Kay Ribeiro, who's also missed a couple.
Yeah.
Kay, haven't you?
I did go on a holiday, sanctioned holiday. Yep.
Why
not
haven't
allowed,
you been on holiday?
Because I don't go on holiday.
Because it'd all fall apart without him, that's why. True.
And if I do, then I'll be doing it remotely, as I did once with my Oster podcast, live from Spain.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
How about that?
Well,
I say that. I don't know if that could be done technically or anything.
John neither shook his head or nodded.
No. Anyway. In an I don't know way. It's our 50th, so we've got a very special episode in which we're going to review three things on TV. Talk generally about what we're watching and liking at the moment, and do a question time at the end and answer
that
a question.
That sounds so special.
Yeah, very, very special.
Why are we changing the format?
Well, we're not changing the format. But like Empire, our sister, I guess mother, like big sister podcast, Empire.
Big sister.
When they, you know, every time they get to a landmark, like 50th or 100, they do a live one. I just don't think we're ready yet, are we? I think generally.
I don't know about you, but me and Steph born ready.
Is it that we're not ready, or is it that the people aren't ready?
The world isn't ready for us to, you know, I don't know, hire the O2.
We agreed that we were going to hire a local Cafe Nero,
and that's
fine.
We could do that. All right, here's for 100th.
Yeah.
We'll do it at the Cafe Nero.
Is that's a verbal contract, boys?
It's a verbal contract.
Right. A Cafe Nero with two floors or just a one floor Cafe Nero?
Or one floor. The one in Camden High Street near where we work, where, you know, there'll be a few, you know, undesirable, shall we say.
Yeah.
Just a disclaimer, because I know John would want this, we won't be buying coffee for you or snacks. It won't be provided.
No.
You just got to come and listen to us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless Boyd is putting his credit card behind the counter. Are you, Boyd?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Anyway.
So you will be thirsty and hungry, and you'll have to listen to us for what will be about 7 hours.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Very good. So in this very special 50th episode, we will be looking at the new drama Come Home, starring Christopher Eccleston with an Irish accent. Don't spoil it whether you think it's a good accent or not, because that's,
no,
you know.
No way, I won't spoil it.
Oh my God, he's not Pakistani.
That's actually an Irish accent.
And kind of a little bit better than his.
Did you not think that? Oh,
no.
Was that not very good, my one?
No, that was terrible.
It was interesting.
Sounded like a relative of mine.
Yeah.
Well, I'm married to an Irish man, so it should be quite good.
Hang your head in shame.
Yeah. Leambie George.
Leambie George, indeed.
We're also reviewing Idris Elba Does Comedy in the Long Run, coming up on Sky One and Now TV. Next Thursday. No spoilers.
Lots of people are in places they probably shouldn't be, is what I'm saying.
You're spoiling already.
I'm not.
Steph.
It was the exhalation that did it.
And finally, episodes. The long-awaited, I have to say, fifth and final season. This was filmed, I do believe, about at least 18 months ago, if not longer. And it was on about 6 months ago on American TV, on Showtime.
What kept it so long? Okay,
I don't know why. And finally, the BBC is unleashing it in time, I guess, for Easter, Friday the 30th, which is the Good Friday.
Unlucky for some, it might be lucky for you, Pogs.
This is also our Easter special, by the way. It's our 50th. Oh. It's our Easter special. All
it's
these
a
shows.
Double special.
Yeah, I mean, well, all these
Have
shows are
Easter.
Have
we got Easter
week.
Eggs to eat?
We've got like chocolate. We've got lovely Caramac buttons that John Dan bought.
He tries to get us hopped up on sugar before
we
record this.
Before any of that, though, Steph, what else have you been enjoying in the world of popular culture / Netflix?
Well. Oh. Can you believe, by the way, that you said that Crufts was controversial and then. There was a whole thing at Crufts.
Yep.
I was so shocked.
Of course.
So if you didn't watch Crufts, guys, which I'm sure you all did. So at Crufts,
in a nutshell.
Well, the Whippet won. In a very big nutshell, the Whippet took Best in Show.
Yeah.
It was a fabulous Whippet.
Do you know the name of the Whippet?
Oh, I can't remember.
Was it called like Tarquin Farnaby?
No, what was the name of the Whippet?
It doesn't matter.
But then live, some Petter or Peter people ran on while she was getting the
animal rights people, maybe they're inspired by it, me mentioning it.
Do you know what upset me is that is just they scared the dogs.
Yeah,
that's not
ironically,
that's not very kind, is it?
No, it's a bigger picture, isn't it? It's like they're complaining about the general issue.
I think we shouldn't get bogged down with this right now.
The Whippet.
Kay is trying to edit you live. I love it as we speak. She's nutshell it. And you're like,
I just think it was kind of ironic that you said, oh, yeah, it's really controversial.
No,
and I was
I thought that was incredible, yeah.
But so, I watched all of Crufts, though, and it was amazing. The flyball final was sensational. That's when they get dogs to run up and catch balls and run back.
Stop! But, this can't be another dog special.
Okay, all right.
TV
all right,
dog
stop.
News.
I shall tell you what else I've been watching. And none of this, not one thing, has a dog in it.
Carry on.
There you go. Okay, so Ruth Ellis. Do you know who she is?
Of course, the last woman in the UK to be hanged, I think.
10 points to you. Mm. Yes. I have been watching the three-parter, The Ruth Ellis Files, on the BBC, which you can catch on iPlayer, and they're all up now. And this is all about, yeah, as Boyd quite rightly says, she's the last woman to be hanged in America, in the UK. Now, her being the last woman, the reason she's the last woman to hang is because they had to change the law based on her case. Because before she was hanged, you couldn't get a... I was going to say diagnosis. What is the word?
You can get a conviction
based on diminished responsibility. Right. And after her, they could. It's very, very interesting. She basically shot her lover in a London pub. She definitely did it. She got a taxi there and shot. But who drove the taxi? Why did she shoot him? It's all very interesting. And all things that would lead nowadays to a diminished responsibility.
How many
conviction. Eps? 3 eps. It's really, really good. And also she had a son who then killed himself. And it's all that. But it's so, so interesting. Because it's like a huge change. It's not a lolathon, but it is very interesting. Okay. Also not a lolathon.
Where's that on again? So
BBC.
Oh, okay. iPlayer. Yeah, yeah.
It's really, really good.
I think it's a BBC 3 or 4 thing. Yeah, yeah,
I think it's
four. I did want to watch that because I think it's a fascinating
It is fascinating.
Case.
It's really good.
Thanks.
Right. I know I mentioned I was watching this before. 7 seconds. I binge watched it and I finished it.
Oh.
10 parts.
Is this the... God,
it's harrowing. On Netflix. So it's the story of a white cop. In the first episode, he knocks down a black teenager and it's the aftermath. And then they try and cover it up and it's kind of the aftermath. Regina King stars in it as the mother. Now, it is, I have to say this, I would say the first kind of 4 episodes are quite slow, but the last...
Stick with
it. It's one of those things that the last couple of episodes make up for everything. Yeah, I thought it was really, really good and it was...
7 seconds on the Netflix.
7 seconds on the Netflix, 10 parts.
I'm writing it down.
Boy's writing that down.
It is really good. The male characters in particular in this, I think, are very well drawn, as you would say, Boy.
How many episodes does it take to get going, did you say?
I think it's... The first 4 out of 6 are not very good.
Okay, so that's 4. Because the reason I'm writing the lens, that's doing a feature in a thing about shows that take time to get going.
Oh, slow burners.
This is one of them.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, then I also watched the film, which I think that you guys reviewed when I was off once on holiday, called Mudbound.
I knew you were going to say that, yeah.
Yes. Did you?
Yeah. It's good, isn't it?
Also not a lolathon.
I was weeping.
Mm. It's horrible, but excellent. I'm surprised it didn't win more awards. I thought it was really, really good.
Well, it was kind of nominated for a few bits and pieces. Yeah, it was best adapted screenplay. It was nominated for
this
all
is
the
on
Oscars.
Netflix.
Yeah,
and it's the story of two men who, a black man and a white man, who both come back from the war onto the same area because their families are on the same farm. It's horrible, but also absolutely brilliant.
Deep South racism.
There's no joy in it, really, at all, is there? There's a couple
of
glimmers.
There's a little bit of maybe hope, isn't there, at some point at the end, maybe? I don't know.
I mean, the boys form a friendship, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, friendship. I mean, it's got the, of course, what's her name?
Mary J. Blige.
Nominated for Best Supporting Actress and Best
Song
in the same year.
Yeah.
Unique achievement, Kay.
Great fact.
I know. Yeah. Anyway, not a lot of them. And lastly... I Am Innocent on Netflix.
Are you?
Yeah. Well, they are.
You,
they
Steph?
All are. Which is basically
Netflix
is
True Crime.
Netflix True Crime, of course. I Am Innocent, and it is all loads of cases in various parts of Australia of people that have been wrongly convicted, and they're telling their stories. Oh, it's brilliant.
Are they innocent though?
They are innocent, and they've been, you know, they've been found to be properly innocent, and that is why it's called I Am Innocent. That's it, guys. That's it. No
good.
More.
You're
not, see, don't you think that I was quite short this week?
Yeah, it was good.
Only very brief.
Kenny, because Kay literally cut you down as you're in the middle of a long description of the Crufts.
I was going down a dog route that I just
down
wasn't
a dog
sure.
Route.
No, I don't know if we wanted to go down that.
We don't want to downground the dogging. We don't want to go.
We don't want to dog this
no
week.
Dogging.
No dogging.
Okay. All right, then lift us above the dogs.
What have I been watching?
What
I hear
you
ask. Right. My next guest needs no introduction with Malala.
Oh.
Yes.
You.
Now, have you watched that, Steph?
I haven't watched it.
K lookalike
really,
Malala.
It's really, really good. It was timed for International Women's Day. And as you all know, that she was attacked in 2012. Young girl, lives in Pakistan, was attacked by the Taliban, point blank range, shot in the face, because she is an activist for girls' rights, women's rights, and the rights to good, decent education. Anyway, the Taliban attacked her, and then it was she was flown to Birmingham in the UK, where she had reconstructive surgery, and you know, now she's studying in Oxford. David Letterman interviews her, and it's incredible. Because it's just so inspiring. Like, even now, she doesn't want to give up what she's doing. She's not scared. She eventually wants to go back to Pakistan to step foot on the soil. You know, she loves the country so much. But she's continuing. She feels like now this is her whole reason for being, like, to continue to, you know, fight for the rights of women around the world. And, you know, she's got a Nobel Peace Prize. And it's just, it's really good.
Is it a big tearjerker?
It's just really interesting and fascinating. You can feel so inspired by watching it.
Does it make you feel like, God, I do nothing?
Oh, yeah, but I always feel like that. But yeah, it really does. I mean,
we do.
Yeah,
we do. Let me ask you this question, because obviously David Letterman is primarily known as, not as a serious interviewer, he's not Paxman, he's like he's a funny guy. He's literally one of the, you know, one of the funniest TV hosts of all time.
Yeah.
So does he manage to bring a sense of humor to it, or is it serious? Is it fairly serious?
He tries with her a little bit. She's not always on the same page as him. However, they did shoot some scenes in Oxford University where he joined her, because she does tours of Oxford University for the young freshers who come in. Like, the people who are interested in coming to the university, she does tours. Mm. And so he joined her one of those tours and then was being very funny, kind of mucking around.
So they don't do any, like, sketches?
No, it's not. Okay. It's not a sitcom. There's no sketch. No.
Okay.
It's not. And then
Malala does
life.
A bit.
Fine. Okay.
No, I wanted to say, if you are interested in that, then you should read her book, "I Am Malala: The Girl Who Stood Up for Education and Changed the World," because it is fantastic. And I read it a few years ago. It's out in paperback. You'll feel inspired.
Okay.
That's the first thing. Now, more inspiration for you.
Oh.
Yeah. The Final Year, which actually Steph told me about.
I did watch that, but yeah, I knew you would talk about it.
It's so good. It's basically, do you know about this, Boyd?
No.
It's the last year of Barack Obama's administration.
Oh, no, I do, sorry.
With the foreign policy team and him, and like what they're trying to achieve before, you know, obviously they have
the world
to
ends.
Hand in the, the world ends, the White House key gets given in. And it was fascinating. So you get to see Barack a little bit, but actually the main players are...
Mr. President to you, I'd have thought.
No, we go way
Barack.
Back. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because he mistake you for Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah, the other secretary. Well, funnily enough, the other secretary of state, John Kerry's in this, Boyd.
Oh.
More up to date.
I like John Kerry.
Samantha Powell, do you like her?
Yo, she was fantastic.
She was really good. She's the US ambassador to the UN. And also Ben Rhodes, who was the foreign policy advisor and speechwriter. And I thought they're all really fascinating characters, because they're all like trying to rush through these policies and changes before obviously they have to, you know, they stop and they try and implement stuff that they actually really care about. And it's really fascinating. And this general countdown, they actually have a countdown clock of like, right, these are how many days we've got. And then it's just this final moment.
Oh God, it's awful when they realise.
When they're watching the election, when they're watching the results come in. And even still, they're like, oh no, it's not going to happen. And it's just that moment that it dawns on them that all their good work is going to be undone shortly. Mm-hmm. Was great.
Tragic.
To watch. It's a great tragedy. Drama though. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. And finally.
What's it called on the Netflix?
The final year.
Is it on the Netflix?
Yeah. Now that I've got it, Boyd,
I can
just
only recommend things on the Netflix.
I know you, but Kay sometimes goes outside Netflix.
No, but I told her. I was like this. It's on the Netflix.
Okay. So it's just, fine.
Right, has anyone watched Keeping Faith?
Oh, no, it's Welsh thing?
Yes. Okay, so our friend and art director, Jan, kept on telling me, Kay, you've got to watch Keeping Faith. It's this Welsh drama. And I'm going to be honest with you, I openly laughed at her. I was like, what? No. And she kept on going on about it. And I thought, you know what? I'll give it a try. It's currently on iPlayer, 5 episodes of the 8.
Right.
And it stars Eve Miles as this mother. Her name's Faith. And she's this really feisty, fun mom who's got 3 children, married to this man called Evan, they've got a loving relationship. She goes out one night to celebrate her friend's divorce, gets pissed up, comes back. He lovingly puts her to bed in the downstairs bedroom. Wakes up in the morning, everything's fine. He goes off to work. He's a solicitor in the family-run like business, and just never comes back.
Why?
And it's exactly. And it's so, so good. She is so great in this role. It's completely mesmerizing when she's on screen. You just like she just completely captures your attention. Mm. And
is it Welsh language? You have to read it.
So they filmed this simultaneously in Welsh and English.
Like they did with another show that I can't remember.
Yeah,
the name. Hinterland. I think they did that with.
I never heard of that before.
Yeah, no, they've done it a couple of times. Yeah.
So they've done it, and so like it's such a good drama. It feels so real. Like that's so authentic. Like the Save Me with Lenny James does in that same way. You just completely believe in these characters, and it's intriguing. So you.
So is it? Where's it showing? It's currently on.
iPlayer.
Oh, but is it on? It's on the channel.
I think
like
it was BBC One Wales. It was filmed, but I don't know. Maybe it was BBC Four. But can I tell you some interesting facts just really quickly about this?
It depends. I mean, you know.
I will allow
joking.
It.
Yeah, of course. I'm mean, directing Kay them. Kay would have been editing you.
I'm directing them. I'm directing them at you.
Tell us some interesting facts.
Right. So Ian
about
Mars was
faith.
In Broadchurch. And Broadchurch. And afterwards she said she was quite disillusioned with the business and like she was turning down roles. She didn't feel passionate about them. Then she got sent this and she was like, found it quite interesting, the concept filming simultaneously in Welsh and English.
Who was she in Broadchurch?
She was, what's her name?
She was the one who did that thing.
Yeah, she did that thing.
Was she the newspaper woman?
It's a Google. No, she wasn't that pope. No.
No.
What was her job?
I can't remember if she was in Broadchurch. She's really annoying me now. She was okay. Very good in Torchwood.
Well, I'll keep on my boys Google.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, she read the script. She thought they were really good. But she said to them, look, you know, I can't do this because I don't speak Welsh.
I want everyone to know that Kate is looking me straight in the
yeah,
eyes.
Yeah, because you're interested in the facts.
I am. Yeah, go on.
I'm looking at Eve Miles.
All right, okay.
I can't do this. Don't speak Welsh. And they were like, well, will you learn? And she's like, well, I'm 38. I've got two kids. You know, obviously that's impossible. Mm. She learnt Welsh for this role.
And how long?
I don't know that fact, Steph.
Did she
but
just
learn Welsh? And I think that's incredible to learn it for a role. So
did she just learn it by the script? So it was kind of like a rote learning thing? Or did she learn it as to, can she speak? If I went spoke Welsh to her now, would she be able to conversate
that's
with me?
That's a great, I don't know. I don't know that.
Or did she just, okay.
Have you got her phone number, the Boyd, while you look it up? Can you just give
can
her a
can you ask her, firstly, oh, hi, who do you play in Broadchurch? And then ask her to answer you in Welsh.
Do you not think that's interesting, though? Because she was actually going to give it all up and become a midwife. She was going to get a job as a midwife.
I think it's really interesting. I do have follow-up questions, but I do think
I know, I wasn't anticipating those questions, to be fair, Steph.
What are the other facts? Apologise.
She was Claire Ripley in Series 2.
Yeah, but what was that person?
Well, all right.
Who was that
okay,
person?
Please only answer when you have the full facts.
Evan was played by Bradley Freegard, and he's really great as well. But it's all for me, it's all about Eve Miles as Faith, and it was a joy to watch. So I would recommend that.
Okay.
And while we're at it, while Boyd's Googling, I'll just fill the time by telling you I'm very excited because this week we'll see the final of Portrait Artist of the Year. Yes, on Sky Arts. I know there's a lot of people out there who watch it.
Who are they going to be doing a portrait of? Or is that a surprise?
The winner will be doing a portrait, a commission for Kim Cattrall, which will be hung in Liverpool in one of the
not in
galleries.
SJP's house.
Yeah, in SJP's living room. She's just commissioned a nice portrait
of
Samantha.
They're not friends anymore. They're not friends.
They're not friends.
Okay. Boy, do you have the answers which we see?
You've been very slow with this.
I think
this
she
board.
Was involved in the new mystery, wasn't she? And I think she may have also... Yeah, I know, it's all a blur.
All
anyway.
Right, Pogs, if you've got a better Google than 3G, 4G than Boyd, just get in touch and tweet us. Let us know.
You could just tell us.
I'm a busy man.
Is.
I mean, people, yeah. Is that if.
We're done,
yeah.
Boyd. It's over to you.
What was the last thing I talked about? Which program was the last one?
I was looking up Eve Miles from the show you were talking about.
No,
what was it called?
One, no, there's one after
Keeping
that.
Keeping Faith?
Yeah.
No. I don't know what it was because I was busy looking up Eve Miles. As she requested. I can't
Portrait Artist of the Year
Paul
final.
Charles, yeah, yeah,
do you know what? I was just thinking, no, she didn't. She's tricking him, but you did.
So you weren't listening either.
I was like, oh no,
you
she's
you
tricking
down.
Him.
You were more interested in me looking up Eve Miles and
you actually talked to me about Portrait Artist. Oh my God. Okay, cool. We've reached a new level of not listening to each other, guys. So hopefully you haven't zoned out and haven't switched off this podcast.
Boyd, what have you been listening to?
Thank you.
Or watching?
I've got
or
a few,
reading?
I've got mainly got parish notices. You know, like when you...
Oh,
when,
yeah.
So one...
Right.
When I said that Curb Your Enthusiasm didn't have deleted scenes, it does.
You didn't say didn't have them. You said... Your exact
if
words were, if you can find them, you're a better man
well,
than me. Now, who was the better man?
Well, everyone, because all you have to do is you have to put in the first disc. So I thought, I went to the second disc thinking all the extras are going to be on the second disc. That's what it says on the back of the thing.
Rookie error.
Turns out the deleted scenes are on the first disc.
Oh, that is
odd.
A dodo.
It's odd, isn't it?
Can I ask you
thank
one thing?
You.
Are you sure you just didn't swap over the disc
no,
by accident in the
definitely.
Covers?
No, they're in the first disc.
Are you sure?
Yeah, so you get deleted okay. scenes, which are great. BTW.
Okay.
In the first disc.
By the way,
and then in the second disc,
know.
You get other things where they pick their favourite. Bits.
Yeah.
So anyway, well worth investing in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
On disc
nine.
One.
On disc.
Disc one, you will find the deleted scenes.
Exactly. Last week we mentioned Ricky Gervais' Humanity on the Netflix, which I still hadn't actually got around to find. Now, finally, not only have I watched it once, I've watched it twice.
I watched
it's
it
so
twice.
Good, isn't
I
it?
I watched it twice, yeah.
Do you like
and
it?
I did really
I've
like
had
it.
A lot of people come up to me in the office who I wouldn't even think of being Ricky Gervais fan saying, oh my God, it's so
but
brilliant.
Boyd.
Yeah.
What is his opening joke about?
What is the opening joke about? I can't remember. What's the opening joke?
Dogs.
Oh, yeah, dogs. Oh, yeah. He loves the
and
dogs.
And it is absolutely... I mean, a lot of it is
yeah.
about dogs,
there's a lot
actually.
About dogs. I mean, he yeah. loves dogs almost as much as you
yeah.
do.
He does,
animals.
Yeah.
He should
yeah.
come on
and
this
cats.
Podcast.
Yeah. yeah. But my favourite bit, I have to say, so he's got a lot of flack from people having a go at him for being politically incorrect and being, and the bit that gets he gets the most flack for, because a lot of it is about him explaining why what he's talking about isn't, shouldn't, people shouldn't, I mean, people can be, take offence at anything, but he's kind of trying to explain that he's not punching down and kind of attacking, you know, people for what they are. And he's, a lot of it is him explaining how his own comedy works, which I thought was really interesting. But the whole section that people really have a going for is the bit about trans people, and particularly about what's her name,
Caitlyn Jenner,
and he talks about how you're not supposed to call name him Bruce. But his whole point about that is the reason why he talks about Caitlyn Jenner, who he mentioned in the Golden Globes, is because she, when she was Bruce, was in that car incident, where a person
someone died,
and his whole point is about that is that we've got to be able to talk about that part of her life. She's not this perfect human being just because she changed gender. And he then goes off, and so a lot of people have been having a go at him, but I love watching him kind of explaining these things, and also at the same time taking the time to say stuff that is incredibly cheeky and bold, but it's not offensive. You know, it's like if you really have to sit there going, I'm going to take offense.
So what do people find offensive that he mentioned that Bruce Jenner had gotten in an accident and done this awful thing?
Yeah.
And people think that he made him having a gender realignment should then have erased all of his
At history. The same time, he does very funny bits about gender realignment. Yeah. You know, he kind of, from an ironic point of view, clearly, he's saying this is the way people think about gender realignment when they get their bits knocked off.
Expression?
And this,
expression, the no, is it the something named? You something, yeah, well, like you know named?
Yeah, there's that phrase where you talk about someone's old name before they change gender. You're not supposed to do that. That's, you know, and so he refers to all these things that he's learned, that you learn, you know, in recent times, the more we've got to know about the trans issue. But more, he, at the same time, he does very cheeky, and I use the word cheeky deliberately. He knows what he's doing. He will talk about what happens.
It's being a bit provocative.
Provocative, but not, but I absolutely stick by it. To take offence at what he does is ludicrous. Anyway, it's hysterically funny. The stuff about him living in Hampstead and the kids that go to Hampstead.
It is funny.
It's so entertaining, isn't it?
And I really enjoyed it,
and
actually.
And he's become this, he's become so good at doing stand-up now that like he's improved each time. This is, I think, his fifth stand-up show, and each one has got better and better and better now.
Didn't he say he loves stand-up? That's all he would like to do now for his life.
I mean, he's definitely doing another like sitcom. I know he's written a new sitcom that will be.
Oh, so he didn't mean it when he said that. Then.
I think this is his favourite thing.
How do you know that he's written one?
He's mentioned it in the thing that...
To you?
Maybe to me. In the thing... No. It's not a proper name drop. I've got a real name drop coming up.
Oh, have you?
All right. Mini story.
Oh, it's going to be the Big Ben of all bongs.
It's a mini story.
Is it bong? I forgot it's bong.
Steph, what's happened to you today?
I don't know. It's all the caramel.
Anyway, Humanity Netflix. Everyone's got to watch it. And the other thing I was going to quickly say was I saw this, went to the screening, and Jason Isaacs was there. And if you listen to the Wittertainment, Mark Kermode, Simon Mayo podcast, I'm sure you do.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not as good as ours, so I don't
know. No, it's not as good as ours. Anyway, Jason Isaacs is a cult figure on that show, right? Mm. So they say hello to him. He's been friends with Mark Kermode for his whole life. And he listens every week, and he kind of emails them and texts them.
I've met him several times, can I just say? I bonged myself.
Yeah. Isn't he lovely? He's brilliant. Isn't he brilliant? So yeah, I have. Really I've met him a few times as well. And he's aware that I sat
It's not a competition, guys.
Years ago, I sat in for Kermode, so he knows that I've done that. So anyway, I met him with this thing, and he was very funny and very lovely. We were chatting away. He's starting filming The OA, I wanted to mention.
Season two of The OA.
He's in it.
How are they going to do a season two of that?
So this is the thing.
Don't spoil the first one.
You can watch the first season on Netflix for people who haven't seen it.
It's one of my favourite shows of the last 5 years.
Great.
Isn't it brilliant?
I'm so excited.
It was so good. Yeah, it was so brilliant. And what he said was, I thought was very interesting is, and I think I'm not 10 tails out of court. I wasn't interviewing him properly, but he did say, and I don't think it's giving, but he said, think they're going to go completely different. It's a completely different thing. That's what he kind of said.
What?
But he's still in it, so his character recurs, which has been confirmed because people know he's filming the second season. But apart from that, and now I'm really intrigued because it's such a unique thing, isn't it? So I'm intrigued by that. But the funniest thing was, it was quite a crowded thing. You know, it was BAFTA. It was quite crowded. And he was telling me a story. We're talking about directors and people, and he was telling me a story about the director of Peter Pan, or just filming of Peter Pan that he did years ago. And I thought in my mind, I thought he was talking about this film Pan, which was the last famous version of the Peter Pan story that Joe Wright, the director of that Churchill film, made, right? And it was famously terrible and was a disaster. Even though I've seen Pan, and I know full well that he is not in it. Jason Isaacs is not in it.
Oh, God.
I still got confused. I still thought he was talking about Pan. And I kind of thought maybe he was talking about I was in Peter Pan, then he was telling a story about Pan. And he said, he corrected me. He very politely corrected me. He goes, no. I mean, Peter Pan, which was, you know, like 2003 or something. Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then I didn't really, hear what he was saying. And then I kept saying a thing about Pan and Joe Wright. He went, no, I'm not talking about Pan. I find he had to be quite firm about it. It was like, Boyd, I'm not talking about that
one. You've been reprimanded.
He was lovely about it.
Thought you were having a moment.
I was like, I don't know why I keep saying.
You're having a senior moment. No.
And I think the thing is because I haven't seen his one. Apparently, his one's pretty good.
God, you should have told him that afterwards. You go,
so now I'm going to go off and I'm going to watch Peter Pan, which came out in 2003, and apparently he's a pretty good film, unlike Pan, which was shit. So anyway, that is my ludicrous Peter Pan embarrassing story that I've mainly told to show that I A, can't hear what people are saying in a crowded situation. B, there are lots of versions of Peter Pan that I haven't seen. And C, Jason Isaacs is a great man, and even he had to be quite firm with me. No, you're misunderstanding. Yeah, anyway, that was it.
He's my new favourite person for doing that.
I bet, yeah, I knew you'd like that. Stories in which I humiliate myself. Yeah.
There seems to be one every week now.
Yeah.
Isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. At any event, it's now my ambition at any major event.
Oh my God, every week you get reprimanded by someone. Chris Noth.
Noth.
Oh, Noth.
Yeah.
Noth.
I'm still with you, Boyd. Noth. I'm still calling him Noth.
Thanks.
I don't care.
Yeah. Anyway, let's do the big meat. Oh, no, wait a minute. Sorry.
I'm going to reprimand you now. Oh. And I thought you were doing that comically. You're not, are you? You've genuinely forgotten about the most important part of this podcast.
Which is reviews news.
Wait, just come on.
We didn't spend all that time making up that jingle for you to forget about it.
I apologise.
And we're recording it in a studio at some point, releasing it as a single.
Yeah.
Right, guys. So as you'll know... oh, it's exciting. Last week we had 73 reviews.
Yeah. Try and keep it together, Kay.
Let's just say we need to get
100 by the end of April.
So 100.
April is our birth month, right?
Yeah.
That's when the pod, this great pod, was born.
Yeah.
And so to celebrate, we thought, what a fantastic way, but to get 100 reviews on iTunes.
100.
It's not a lot. When you go to other podcasts, and I urge you not to do this, and look how many reviews they got.
Well, I told you about Atlanta Monster.
How many has that got?
I mean, they've only got a few episodes, and they had like 268 or something.
Steph, I've been on some, and they actually just have a number followed by the letter K. That is depressing. Thousands.
Oh, really?
Anyway, we got...
I guess you don't understand what letter K stood for.
Well, she did look at the news.
So the reviewing K.
Yeah. Anyway.
But is this all going to change this week for us?
Well, yes, I'm hoping so. So last week we had 73.
Yes.
And this week we've got 74. I know. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I was a little bit...
It's not quantity, it's quality.
It's not. That's the thing. I was... When I saw the number and my heart did sink a little bit, right? Because as we know, that now leaves 26 to get in 6 weeks, which is... we've calculated 5 a week. John did the math. But then I read it... And you're right, Steph, it is the quality, not the quantity.
Oh, okay.
Let me read it to you.
Right.
Subject heading, cross-generational appeal, ? So already a smart person is listening to this,
yeah, that is a very...
Yeah, a lot of syllables there.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's by Mama Tiggs, great name.
Mama Tiggs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like you made a bit street there. Mama Tiggs.
Mama Tiggs.
Like Big Mama's house.
Yeah, Big Mama Tiggs.
I'd love to go to Big Mama Tiggs' house. Anyway, right, she says... I've been listening to this podcast since about last August, dedicated listener.
Oh, that's when we really hit our stride.
And she feels like she's sitting around a kitchen table and doing the television equivalent of a book club. Great observation. And she loves hearing the reviews, but also self-deprecating humour and leg pulling.
Leg pulling?
Yeah.
Can I just interject with a really quick fact about leg pulling? Because I watched a good
documentary. How do you have a fact about leg
pulling?
Honestly,
right, listen to this. Okay. Oh. No, this is interesting. Right. I was watching this program about crime and punishment and how...
Of course you were.
I know. I thought I'd
that's
veer off the norm.
But, yeah.
But it was about how capital punishment came about. And basically, when someone was hanged, because they were all hanged constantly all the time in the ye olden days, right? If their friends would come and watch them, and because they couldn't quite calculate how long it would take them to die because they didn't have all those calculations...
Steph, don't
your
say
friends,
it.
No, listen. Your friends would go... crowd around you afterwards and pull your legs to make you die sooner. And that is where leg pulling comes from.
Wow. That's actually really interesting, but also very grotesque.
No, but that's true.
And gruesome.
So, but no, it was a nice thing because it's like, oh, you're going to die. But, you know, let's just
you know, make it go quicker.
I think it's a nice thing in any way.
Well, anyway, it is. No, it is.
If you were going to die
accelerate
anyway.
Your death, accelerate. Yeah.
I would like you to pull one leg each if that was in that situation, guys.
What I was going to say, like, if any of you get hanged, I will be there to pull
your
leg. I
know, you're constantly a weight on my leg. Okay.
Sorry.
So, anyway, Mama Tiggs goes on to say that she loves all that, but Reviews News nearly crashed her car.
What?
Yep. When she, I love a bit of drama.
Because it is the jingle.
No, although I'd like to think it was. Because she heard C. Morris's 2803's review being read, right? So if you remember, that's the student, the 16-year-old.
Which people do.
Yeah, oh. Pogs, who said we get her through her coursework and then we...
Graphics, our graphics student.
Yeah, and we commissioned her, well, I commissioned her to add to her stress levels to then design us a logo for the Pogs and the Super Pogs. Yep. She's taken up the mantle, just so you know.
Oh.
Anyway...
What's the design then? Where's the design?
Okay, boy, give her time. Okay,
she had a breakdown.
She's doing graphics homework.
We appreciate your work. Anyway, the reason why she nearly crashed the car is because that was her daughter.
Whoa!
Oh.
Yes, wonderful. She says we often discuss.
That was a real curveball.
Good reaction.
She said, "Yeah, but when does that happen? When does that ever happen?"
But listen, here's the reasoning. She says we often discuss and cross-reference the podcast, but she had no idea she was reviewing it. She was driving to see her mother, so that's Mama Tiggs's mother, who was very
three generations of Tiggs,
who was very recently
Grandma Tiggs. Oh my God! What next? Next week, like a review from Grandma Tiggs.
Listen. Grandma Tiggs has very recently sorted out her broadband, acquired a streaming service, and learnt the art of binge watching. She started with Anne and A. Great choice. I don't know what that is. Anne and A? I wonder that's in Boyd's. Do you know Anne and A?
Okay.
Anyway, she said she may have a convert to the show and she's up for a longer show too. Thanks all. So obviously, that is just the most fantastic review. And even though it's just one since last week, I'm willing to overlook that because it's a sweet one. But also... I don't know what you're hearing from that. I'm hearing Nana Tiggs, I'm now calling her, has got all these devices and like all these modern things. Surely she must have iTunes.
We could go for a third generation review.
Come on, Nana Tiggs.
Come
don't
on,
let us
Nana.
Down. Bring
that's
us to
incredible.
Bring us to 75.
Yeah, so anyway. I don't know whether that's ever happened on Reviews iTunes before. I'm just going to refer to John. Has that ever happened on iTunes Reviews? No, it is a firm no.
Okay. Do you mean in any podcast in the world?
It is a world first that a daughter reviews a podcast.
The mum doesn't know.
The mum doesn't have any idea.
Nearly crashed car.
And
that's
then
a bit drama.
An automobile accident nearly takes place because of the shock of hearing that review. Let's hope Nana Tiggs is not on the road.
From a legal...
Can you imagine? Yeah. If she heard us talking about her daughter and her granddaughter at the same time.
It doesn't bear thinking about. Legally, where do we stand though? If Mama Tiggs had crashed the car because of us talking about her daughter on our podcast,
I'd go to prison for that.
John very confidently is saying no.
We have
no responsibility. We are washing our hands of that. Yeah. Thanks for the review. We're on 74. Please, for the love of God, we need 26 in 6 weeks' time. That's just five a week.
Right.
Just five a week. So
five a week.
Anyone who's reviewed us, thanks a lot. And if you want to tell your friends, your relatives, your lovers, your animals, your pets, anyone that can leave something.
Pets doing reviews now?
Yes,
Steph's dogs could.
Yes, and they will.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okie dokie. Well, that's great.
That was, I have to say, that was probably the best ever Reviews News.
He's not talking about the jingle, he's talking about the review. I just got that.
Mm. Well, yeah. The jingle's great and everything, but.
It is good Reviews News, though, isn't it?
Yeah. You should go into this recording studio and do versions of Reviews News and questions.
Craig David has said he'll mix it for us. He hasn't.
No, he hasn't.
Anyway, come on. Let's stop messing about. It's time for the meat. Come home, Kay.
I will do.
I don't. That's
what
not,
time do you want me?
That's not a specific request.
Oh, okay. Misunderstood.
About our domestic situation. It's the name of the new series starring Christopher Eccleston from writer Danny Brockhurst. Who he, you're asking?
Who he?
Danny Brockhurst is a great man. You remember The Five, when we did The Five on Sky, and that brilliant mystery thing about the disappearing kid? He wrote that. That was from an idea by Harlan Coben.
Brilliant.
And he's written the new one coming up, which is called Safe, which is going to be on Netflix, you'll be pleased to know.
Oh, thank God.
He's written that from a Harlan Coben idea. He also...
Ordinary Lies,
yes. Two series of that, which are really good. Remember that different story each week in the same workplace? It's like factory.
He's an overachiever.
He's a great... And this is his new drama. It's in three parts. Kay, what the F is it all about?
Okay, so Christopher Eccleston plays... Greg, and he's married to Marie, and they've been in a relationship. They've been married for 19 years. You know, you assume happily. They've got children. Everything seems to be okay. And in a similar vein to Keeping Faith, as I talked about earlier, we find out that one day Mari. Is it Mari or Marie? How did she say it?
I think it's Mari because they're Irish, aren't they? They're very...
My mum's name. Mari.
Is that the Irish way of saying Marie?
I do believe it is. Maybe is I'm wrong. I might be here wrong. But you Marie. Know. Marie. Mari. Anyway, let's not get hung up on it.
Okay. Well, anyway, Mari walks out on them for no apparent reason, just out of the blue. They're completely shocked and devastated. And this is the drama picks up 11 months on. And Christopher Eccleston's character, Greg, is putting his life together. He's trying to get his kids, you know, through this difficult time. He's entering the dating scene again, which is obviously very hilarious because he hasn't done it for so many years. And so he starts internet dating. He meets a woman with remarkably just as much baggage as he does. And that all goes on. But so it's told mainly this first episode from his perspective. And they have flashbacks to happier times with all the family. But I think what's interesting is, like, it's very intriguing because we just don't know why she walked out on them. Because it's quite, you know, an unthinkable thing, I suppose, to leave your children.
For a woman, a mother and wife, to leave in the situation. Yeah. Men walk out all the time.
Exactly.
I mean, I bet this is factually true.
Yeah.
You know, when their wives get pregnant, sometimes even they just abandon them. Bastards. But it's quite rare for a woman in the situation, apparently. And I have to say, of course, I did go to the screening of this where they discuss this thing.
Boom.
Yeah. It's quite rare for a woman to leave in the situation. So, yeah, that's
it is. That's why it's a unique story in that way. And so the whole thing is very intriguing because, like, she gives no explanation. We do see her latterly in the 11 months on, and she's even still is not giving any reason. She seems to be without any remorse, and she's just living 2 miles down the road in a terrace but won't say why. And it seemingly it's not because of, you know, the reason you'd think is like, oh, she's met someone else, she's, you know, she's moved in with a lover. Doesn't seem to be the case. So yeah.
Let me ask you this question. Did you realise, because I was at the screening, and so Christopher Eccleston was there, and he was on brilliant form. I think a lot of people think Christopher Eccleston is maybe a little bit, I don't know, take himself a bit serious or down. Couldn't be further from the truth. He was funny, like, outrageous. He was talking about stuff he said about the Daily Mail. I mean, he no holds barred. He does not give a flying shit to what he says about anything. He was very funny. And but what I didn't realise, because I watched this first, the screening was the first episode. So did you know the second episode is from her point of view?
They're trying to do like the affair.
Little bit, yeah. No, I mean, not in that way where it intercuts between the different points of view. The second episode will be entirely... So the first episode is
Will it be
entirely,
the same content from
some
her
of
point
it,
of view?
Some of it. It will be to some extent her version of those events, yeah.
I only realised that because I wrote the preview from this and they said this first episode's from his perspective. Yeah. So I realised that actually the next
how
one...
Interesting was, is that? And then the third episode... is them together
the truth.
With like resolving or not, I haven't seen it, or it, you know, playing out what happens now, like kind of from a objective perspective, if you like. So I think it's such an interesting way
interesting
of doing
concept.
It.
Have has that happened before?
I think a little bit, but not in this kind of way. In this
not
kind
as
of
neatly
three,
as one episode,
three
two,
act
three,
structure,
yeah.
If you like, yeah. But I thought, Steph, I'm going to you first because you may have some weird reason why you decided not to like it, and we need to get that out of the way first.
Okay,
which we will value.
There is a reason that it made me feel a bit icky, and I know you're going to think I'm really awful.
Oh, great, I'm loving this. I'm already looking forward to it.
Is it what you think?
I think so.
Can be a new feature where guess what your weird thing is.
Shall I write it down?
Guess.
I'll write it down.
Oh, yes.
I'm calling this, what is Steph's weird problem?
Okay.
W-I-S-W-P.
This is the problem that I have.
Okay.
Okay, go on.
Okay, what do you think Steph's weird problem is with this show?
Is it something to do with Christopher Eccleston's accent?
No, it is not.
Oh, I lost.
No, it is not. Okay. I can reveal.
I can't
even
think.
Covering this corner of paper.
Yeah, let's see.
That I've covered up. Which says, Sexy Times, Christopher Eccleston.
Oh.
I really, really did not like.
Very
really?
Steph. Very Steph reason.
I really don't like.
You think sex scenes involving people over the age of 50 should be banned?
No, but generally any sex scenes, I've realised she's actually quite a prude.
No, yeah, prude. I really, really did not like
Prudence.
Watching.
Why didn't you like
Christopher Eccleston have relations and say, I haven't had relations for a long time?
There's quite a lot of shagging.
I don't like it at all.
Steph, he deserves to have sex like anyone.
No, funny you should say that. I think he's done something really bad.
He did talk about doing sex scenes at the screening, and he said that they it was very funny for them to film these sex scenes. Yeah, because the woman, the other woman who has, he's known her for years, I think, that actress.
Yeah, and, she sells the
sandwiches. She is played Kerry Quinn.
She's very fun. She's great, isn't
plays
she?
Kerry Quinn plays Brenna Coyle.
Yeah, and the two of them were very funny about how doing those scenes, yeah.
It made me feel...
Queasy.
I really, really didn't like it.
I know what you mean, but don't let that get in the way, surely.
I like the story. I thought the story was interesting. I didn't... I didn't like his accent. I don't like the way he says the word mar.
Yeah.
Which is mother.
Oh, yeah.
Mar.
Mar.
That I find really, really annoying. Okay. I found his accent quite hard to decipher at times, but I give him full credit for giving it a good go. but, yeah, I don't know what it is. I really don't like things where middle-aged people...
Have
Seth,
sex.
Don't finish it. Don't finish that sentence.
You're so such a
no. Get in real life, do it. I mean, absolutely.
Oh, that's nice of you. You're allowing older people to have sex in real life. Just, people over 50.
It just makes me feel like it's just horrible. I don't want to watch it.
CS, classic stuff.
Classic stuff. That is the classic stuff.
Kay, did the sex scenes get in the way of your enjoyment of it, or even their accents?
Yes,
it's
the
a bit weird. Yeah, so okay, go on.
Okay, so my point with this, I enjoy the story. I think it's very intriguing. I really want to know what the hell's going on, why she left them.
I think she's a lesbian.
Yeah, I thought that maybe she could be.
Yeah.
But the accent... Okay, so it's set in Ireland. I haven't seen the second episode. Maybe something happens in the second episode, which means this drama really does need to be based in Ireland. But if not, I wish they had just set it in England and hadn't given him that challenge. Because while it's a okay accent, you know, it's a good kind of... accent, maybe.
Good attempt, you mean?
Good attempt.
Steady.
I just found it really distracting. And I actually felt tense when I was watching it because I kept on thinking he was going to drop out of it.
It's because we all know so well that Chris Ferguson is a northern English person.
That's exactly right.
Oh,
yeah.
And then if you put that fake accent into a bed having sex, it's not nice.
Into a bed.
It's just not nice.
Can I just say, it's quite interesting because I do feel I think the reason why they filmed it in Northern Ireland is because... They wanted a different location, not one of the usual cliched. So this is a Red Productions thing. And my third huge name drop, I happen to have conducted a career retrospective with the producer of this show and Red Productions, Nicola Schindler, last week in the BFI. This is one of her shows. She did like career. She does all the Russell T Davis shows, you know, she's got an incredible light career. And they never ever film in London. So Red Productions...
Well, good
you know,
for them.
Yeah. So
shouldn't
brilliantly.
Be so London-centric.
So you know, the five they did that was from Liverpool, and so they didn't want to film somewhere we'd all seen before. They wanted somewhere new and fresh, and it has got. And
new
I think
fresh or cheaper.
Well, maybe, or maybe there was a deal. I don't know with the Ulster TV board or something.
I think that is commendable, and I really like that. However, he could have still been English, living in Northern Ireland. People do travel and do live other places.
She's Irish,
people
isn't
do
she?
Travel.
The actress is Irish.
Yeah, everyone in it.
He could be married to an Irish actress.
Pretty much everyone's doing.
Woman.
He could,
as far as I'm aware, pretty much everyone in it is Irish. The actresses and the kids and everything, apart from him. So I think he could have done his own accent, but I thought it was fine. It wasn't a problem for me because I think all the other people there said his accent was fine. I think because it's that thing because he's so famous for his normal accent that he even did when he was Doctor Who.
So why give that extra challenge?
I know. I think he did it perfectly well. I think he did it perfectly because you then had to explain why is this guy living in Ireland?
I would have accepted it. All right. I would have if they just said this guy lives in Ireland.
Let's not get bogged down in this whole accent issue.
I don't think you'd need to.
I think this is a effing great drama. This is a brilliant first episode. It's not genre. It's not a crime drama. I know, you must be disappointed. It's not...
I don't know. There might be a crime.
It's not medics. It's not doctors. It's not, it's not a conspiracy thriller.
Actually.
Do you know what I mean? It's a relationship drama. And it's not even... Because Dr. Foster, even though it was relationship, it was kind of a thriller in its own way. Mm. This is not. And I think it's so clever that he's done... And the mystery of why she has gone...
There might be a thriller element to this, though, because we saw a little bit of a teaser to the second episode. And
I don't think there is. I think that, in terms of the way it's told, it's thrilling.
Oh, I really
hope, say that.
I really hope it doesn't just turn out that she was just like... sick of doing all the washing and just wanted to... Do you know what I mean? I really hope there is actually something interesting of why she walked out.
Well, I think we'll see it. I don't know. I haven't seen the second episode, but I think it'll play and we'll see just what the whole thing is from her point of view. Then we'll understand. I think we will understand. I'm assured we will understand. I think it's great. I think it's really... I think Danny Brockhurst is such a clever writer. I think this is a really, really good show.
Yeah, yeah. I want to say, Christopher Eccleston's acting is fantastic. Yeah. It's just the accent I wasn't fully on board with.
I think we've made it quite clear that the accent is an issue.
But the acting was great.
You think that the sexy times was all right?
Yeah, I thought it was fine. I know what you mean.
That's all I need. What I mean. That's all I need.
I thought it was a very deliberate thing. To have those sex scenes because they didn't need to have them. But I think it's almost like striking out saying, look, a man over 50 and a woman over whatever she is, 40.
I'm not saying they don't, I'm just saying it's icky.
Let's allow it.
We'll allow it.
They allowed it. I'm giving it 5 stars. I don't care what you say.
Wow. Yep. I'm giving it 4 stars.
I'm going to give it 4 stars too.
Come Home is on the BBC One.
We will.
On the 27th of March at 9 o'clock, and will carry on for 2 more weeks after that. And it's very good, I think. Next, we're moving on to Idris Elba's comedy that he created and stars in the Long Run, on Sky One / Now TV. I'm looking at you, Steph. I feel like you are the one to talk us through.
I've been chosen.
This extraordinary project.
Okay, right. Written by Idris himself.
Created by.
Created.
Yeah. So this, yeah, it was his idea, and it's based loosely on his own life as a child, but he didn't write it. Yeah, it's interesting.
Oh yeah, the character, he's based on his own father. Okay, so Idris plays Walter Esmond. Okay, a family man who lives with his lovely wife Agnes and their son in on a council estate in London, and it starts off with he's getting a letter from his mother in Jamaica, and his mother is basically explaining that his little brother is out of control, and so she's sending his little brother called Valentine to come and live with him in London. And the whole comedy is based around all the havoc that that causes, because Valentine is unruly, and he doesn't really understand British life, and he doesn't understand how to take care.
And he's a lot of fun.
And he's a lot and he's a lot of fun. So, and it's also got Bill Bailey in it. Bill Bailey is the much put upon neighbour who has a wife who's had a child,
yes,
a mixed race child,
which is very funny, isn't
with
it?
Somebody else.
Yeah.
And they're not really acknowledging that he is not the father of that child.
They think that the baby's brown because the mother ate too much brown sugar.
Yeah, that's basically it.
I think you summed it up brilliantly.
It's a sum up.
It's a sum up.
It's a total sum up. Okay. What did you think?
Dramatic pause.
I really liked this, and I thought it was really funny. And I really liked the fact that they just hit upon loads of the cultural references of the time. The music was great. Do you love the music?
I like the music.
I love the music. I like the cultural references. Bullseye gets mentioned, which, you know, I'm always a big fan of that. Mm. Big fan of Bullseye.
And of course, Paul Jim
Ryan. R.I.P.
Lost him recently.
And I thought the kids were like, boy, you mentioned this in your preview about the kids being really good. So
yeah.
Cobner's played by Sammy Kamara, and he's really fantastic
The
son.
He is.
He's really funny and really good. And also, there's a boy who lives on the opposite estate, and every day he starts singing, and he's such a good singer.
He's an amazing singer. I thought that was a bit weird, that bit, but I just thought this.
Oh, I loved
He's an amazing singer, that boy. But
that's
a great little
touch, a little poetic, which I don't really explain. Yeah, he's just standing there.
I love
there
that, though.
Yeah, it's great.
It's quite haunting. It's just really, it's really nice.
Yeah,
I love that.
Kay and I are right about that. You're wrong.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was funny, and I thought Valentine was a real fun character, and loved him.
He
creates a naughty bastard cocktail, which I was on board with.
Oh, that is
which they served again at the screening.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, genuinely.
Whatever the hell
those things are, yeah.
It had dark rum, white rum, gin.
Yeah,
it had everything, and a Guinness in it.
Yes,
you had that.
I sipped it. And it was real. It seemed real. I couldn't take it. I just literally had a sip. And that was it. But people were glugging them down.
Really?
Yeah. I think Idris was drinking one. I think
he was.
And I really like the Walter. And so Bill Bailey's character is called Bagpipes. And I really like their unlikely friendship. It's quite sweet.
Yeah.
I thought that was really good. And usually Bill Bailey is not someone I find very funny at all. Oh. But I thought he's quite an amusing character.
He hosted the Bower Awards once, didn't he?
Or whatever he used to call them
years ago. Our internal awards. Yes, we have internal awards.
They're being rested for a
year. Rested this year. Yeah. Maybe next year Bill Bailey can be back.
They're being rested the year that we create this podcast.
Deliberate. What did you think, Stephanie Seelan? I sensed when I was talking us down through the menu, I saw a raised eyebrow, an arched, a frown. I got not entirely positive vibe from you.
Right. Okay.
Is this another? Is there a special reason why you don't like it? I want to get Kate to predict.
Yeah. Write it down.
What's the weird? I've already forgotten what this segment's called.
The reason
what's the mad
Steph's
thing that Steph doesn't like about it?
While you're writing it down, I just got to say the other thing I like is that it's the fish out of water element is really good. You know, like Valentine coming over and those cultural, immigrant story of someone coming over and just being completely at odds with everything that's going on.
But more importantly, what do you think is the weird thing? Weird reason why Steph won't like it?
Is it the dialogue?
Oh, no, that's not weird. That's just a criticism. It's got to be something weird. It's got to be a weird,
either
bizarre...
lack of animals, lack of dogs.
I know what it is. I think
oh,
I know what it is.
What is it?
Because you're referring to... You didn't like John Thingy, the comedian doing drama. Mm. What's his name? John Bishop.
Yeah.
I don't think you'd like Idris Elba, dramatist, doing comedy.
I do not like
it. Yes, I got
oh
it!
My God.
I do not like it.
She likes everyone to be in their boxes.
Stay in your lane.
Stay in your box.
I do not like it at all. Whoa. I really don't... I didn't like it.
I think we've established you didn't like it.
Did you like it?
No.
Mainly because you don't like, you don't want Idris Elba to do comedy.
I don't want my Idris's
you're
comedic.
Luther. You're The Wire.
No, I'm sorry. You cannot be... Sometimes you're really, really, really good at one thing. And he is really, really good at one thing. And that
so
is dramatic.
So you don't think he's good at comedy?
No, I don't. I didn't think he was good at comedy.
Steph, I think you've been really unfair. First with the old people having sex and now with this.
No, I'm not. I'm real life old people can have sex. I'm just saying it made me feel icky watching Christopher Eccleston have like... rabbity set old person sex.
Oh
on
my God.
Rabbity?
Yeah,
no,
like,
don't repeat that. That's a phrase I can't unhear.
No, it's
fine. I have to rip my ears.
Anyway,
off.
Back to the ages. I love Idris Elba.
I prefer Idris Elba. Yeah.
Look, I love Idris Elba. I'm a huge fan of Idris. I just. You know when dramatic actors do stuff for comic relief, okay? And,
yeah.
And it's funny,
because
they're only going to do it once, okay? That's
I think
not
they,
this.
I think
this
they did
serious...
do a Luther for comic relief, in my mind.
But this is something they're doing seriously. Like, serious as
comedy.
His character isn't even that
funny.
Comedic. No, but it's not meant... I don't think he...
It's
Valentine that's like
he's not
like
cracking
funny.
Jokes, is he?
He's the...
Straight man. Mostly, yeah.
No.
You still wouldn't allow it?
I didn't
not
like
it.
I don't think it suits him. I think he's too...
I really enjoyed it.
No.
I thought it was spot on.
I like it. Oh, did you? No.
No. It's just
I
a no
really,
from you.
Really didn't like... Valentine character is obviously a comedy actor, and you can tell that he's a comedy actor.
He does loads of stuff.
But Idris is too... I'm going to say something now. I think Idris is too big for this.
Jimmy Akinbola plays Valentine. He's done loads of different things, but he's very funny.
Idris is too big for this. He's too well known for this.
He's spreading his wings, but that's like the Eccleston doing the accent.
I'm going to use the phrase. I'm going to use the phrase close-minded.
No, I'm
you
not.
Are very close-minded.
Right. Okay. Do you think that he pulls it off then?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Oh yeah, much
totally.
More than
sounded like very 70s DJ.
Totally, dude.
Slash transatlantic. Totally. I think it's fun. I think it's breezy. I think the accuracy of the age stuff is very good, because sometimes, I mean, I'm roughly the same age as him, I think, probably maybe even slightly younger. And so this is totally recognised.
You're younger than Idris.
I don't know. I'm definitely like around that age.
I don't mean to sound as surprised as
I was. I was a teenager in the 80s, put it that way. And so all the music, you know, is all the stuff I liked.
I love the whole idea.
Obviously, I wasn't brought up in a black family on a housing estate. But, you know.
That is shocking.
Yeah, I know. But
authentic.
It felt authentic. And I believed in it. And I thought it particularly came together for me. I thought the first episode, I was not disappointed. I thought it was fine, but not great. And it was introducing the whole thing. It had to set up a lot of things, the first episode.
Yeah.
Then in the second episode, the scene particularly where
emotional depth,
yes,
had them.
Where Idris's character and Bill Bailey's character were sitting there outside their garage or whatever, chewing the fat, was great. I thought it was a really lovely scene. And then it all came together for me, and I'm like, now I want to see the rest of it, and I think
this
is lovely.
There were lots of nice bits. I just think Idris is too big for a role like this.
Well, you've made that clear.
And that is final.
And that's really stopped you. It's a
no.
It's
it was
a
fine.
Bishop.
It was absolutely fine.
Yeah,
but it is
a bit
of a bishop. It is a bit of a bishop. I'm
it's
sorry.
It's a Steph.
When John Bishop dared to have dreams of acting, and Steph shot them down.
And
what
new,
happened? He stopped doing it. So with any luck, Idris will stop doing this.
I'm calling this a sir. S-I-R. Steph's irrational review.
But I don't think that is irrational.
It's the irrationality of it that is great.
I bet you other people out there.
Gosh, that goes with Sia, SIA.
Yeah. But then you said that you thought I was irrational the other day when I said I wasn't happy about the ending of Save Me, which we're going to go into in another.
Just
another
a little podcast point. Note, guys listening, Pogs, I just want to let you know that we're not bullying Steph. She actually loves this.
She admits to
She loves
irrational.
These acronyms.
No, but it's not irrational. I bet you some other people out there are like, oh no, it just shouldn't do comedy.
Well, there are close-minded people out there.
You're not close-minded if you think like me.
I think it's a lovely show. All six episodes, BTW. I think Sky, every single thing they do now, and I'm about to contradict myself, pretty much they put out there as a box set when it arrives. So all six episodes are available next Thursday, the 29th of March.
It's a plonk.
And I think it's really lovely. But they're not doing that with Patrick Melrose, the new Benedict Cumberbatch show, because that's being shown in America week by week, so they have to stick to that. Just
also, you
want to
savour that.
You totally want to savour that. I'm going to give In the Long Run 4 stars.
I'm giving it also 4 stars.
I'm going to give it 3. There were some lovely parts.
So at least you're not giving it two. Which
no,
would
be, no, okay. I'm just, I only, no, no. No.
So it's not Sis, Steph's Irrational Stars.
Listen, last week we went into Irrational Stars when I tried to give something a 3.75 or whatever and I was told I wasn't allowed.
Because that was ridiculous.
Fair enough. Right, finally, in the meat section, it is, as I said, the long-awaited fifth and final season of the comedy Episodes, which the most famous thing about it is it stars Matt LeBlanc as himself, playing a kind of exaggerated version of himself. And it's also created by David Crane, who worked on Friends, one of the creators of Friends. Mm. Jeff Lee Clarke, who created Mad About You, classic American sitcom writers. And the whole idea of it is, of course, that this British couple, Stephen Mangan, our favourite, who we saw in the birthday party, remember?
I didn't see him, but I do love Stephen Mangan.
Oh, yeah, you didn't see it, did you?
You didn't invite me.
Sorry, didn't have a spare ticket.
Wow. Yeah.
And Tamsin Gregg of Friday Night Dinner fame. They're the British couple who get a chance to go to America and work on an American version of their own thing. And it's all about fishes out of water, mm-hmm. British couple in Hollywood. And by now, as this fifth series begins, Matt was in there, LeBlanc was in their sitcom. Now they've all moved on. They're working on a new sitcom with this tyrant, other British guy. They're in the writer's room with him, and that was their idea, and he had a similar idea, and they're working on it together. Meanwhile, Matt LeBlanc is working on this reality show called The Box, which I thought was quite funny. This invented new reality show where all these different people are in their own boxes in a studio.
I actually think it's quite a good idea.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
I think they should do it.
Exactly, same. Where all these individuals are in their own boxes for 17 weeks, and Matt LeBlanc hosts it, and that's his kind of like supposed to represent him rather coming down a rung or two in his career. What do we think of the episodes, Kay? Deep breath.
No, I like, on the whole, I liked it, and I really loved the box concept, so this game show that he hosts, because it's fantastic. So every time the contestant gets one wrong, they can opt for someone else, one of the other contestants, to have something hideous put in their box or something that's going to make their stay impossible. So then they want to leave. And I was like, oh my God, this should be. It's like basically each box is a Bush Tucker trial. Like this should happen. It was really good. And a lot of the comedy for me, the things I actually found funny, came from the game show / Matt's interactions with the contestants. And there's a very funny strand of the storyline that comes from that. Other than that, I don't know. I really thought I'd find it a lot funnier than I did.
Have you watched it before? Are you new to episodes? In its fifth and final season?
I feel like I might have seen one episode like back in the first series.
So you're not a fan of the show? You haven't?
No.
No, fine. Okay.
So it's not a fall from grace for me. That I had expectations of it being a lot funnier than it was. And I don't know is it one of these shows that, I mean, actually, do you watch it?
I've never seen it before, and I don't think I'm going to again.
It's a return of the virgin slot.
Yeah, it's a return of the virgin slot.
Much missed.
Go on. As someone who watched it from the start, is it something that
did it used to be funny?
Has it lost steam a little bit over the way?
I would say that it's. I think it feels now to me, to be honest, it feels to me now like they're slightly stretching it to come up with new things, because the premise was so clever originally, and based on, you know, this happened, for example, Stephen Moffat, you know, of Doctor Who and Sherlock fame, he did Coupling, you know, Coupling?
Yeah.
And what actually happened to him and his wife is that they were asked to do an American version of Coupling. And I think that was the impetus, I feel, that true story, it did happen, you know, and it didn't go well, the American version. So that being the initial premise of this show, I was immediately intrigued, and I love shows about making TV, you know, I think it's fascinating. Yeah. So I was gripped from the start, and I did really like it when it started to fit. And then I think by third or fourth season, it did stretch. And now it feels, particularly their story. So I think I agree with you. I think the reality TV spoof satire thing is funny.
Yeah, Matt doing
that.
Story.
But I now feel that their story of Stephen Mangan and Tamsin Gregg's story feels not solid and interesting enough. So most of their scenes in this episode were them in this writer's room. And I didn't think that, and I thought that was a bit one note and a bit. So I did struggle with that, I have to say. And
the irony of that scene was, because I agree, it just wasn't. Mm. I don't think to have a whole that storyline take up the whole episode was strong enough. But the irony is, they're having this conversation. So they've got this tyrannical showrunner who's like just wants to keep them in the room as long as possible because he doesn't have a life, and he's like making them sit there for hours. And the irony is, like, he's saying these really unfunny things that he wants to put in the show, and they're like, no, no, no. And then one of them says, like, oh. He says, oh, comedies don't have to be funny anymore. And I was like,
I thought that was a little bit of self awareness. I mean, it's
yeah,
a comedy.
But self-awareness that their comedy isn't as funny as mine. No, maybe. Should they have ended it a season sooner?
Do you agree? I've sensed a certain amount of agreeance from you that you didn't
find it funny.
Funny.
Mm. I love the concept. I never watched it before, but I actually really love the concept of Joey playing himself as a washed up game show host now, who still really thinks of himself as an actor. And I love that whole idea. And because I'd never seen it before, I was like, oh, that's such a good idea. This could be really brilliant. He is the best thing about it. I really didn't find it funny at all, though.
I did think this was, I have to say, I thought it was a disappointing opening episode of this series. Yeah. And I think the stuff that they've given the two main characters to do isn't good enough. But I thought, I was freaked out. So here's my thing. I was freaked out a bit.
Boy,
it's a freak out. Yeah.
So there's this scene in it, semi-spoiler alert, where there's one of the people in this spoof fake reality show, The Box, that Matt LeBlanc's character is hosting, is suddenly does this shower scene. You know,
that's
the shower scene?
Really odd.
Didn't you think that was weird?
Yeah. It's not just older people in 60 times. This girl has a shower scene and it's like a wet t-shirt competition. I don't want to see that.
Full on.
I don't want to see
that. Very full on, wasn't it? Full comedy.
It's like porn.
To have this. So the idea is that they're all leering at her, literally, like LeBlanc and the other men and one of the women, leering at this young woman who's taking part in the reality show and is ordered to shower in her little box. So, but it was like a see-through top she was wearing. And it went on quite a long time.
It's very not of this time.
I have a thing about sex in comedies. And I've had this discussion actually with people who write, it is a bit weird to have nudity and like sexy stuff in a sitcom. This is a sitcom. I thought that was really misjudged. I thought it was unnecessary.
I think you can have nudity in comedy because it can be very funny.
Oh,
but
yeah,
this
if it's
is different.
Lot,
if
it's Barbara Windsor and Carry On Camping, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That came a bit quickly to Boy's Head.
Didn't it?
Legendary moment in history. But this just felt wrong, and that particularly feels dated. So interesting. So part of the reason why I mentioned it was filmed so long ago and shown in America 6 months ago is even in 6 months, I think we've moved. I felt wrong that
of course we've moved on so far from that,
and I thought it was directed was slightly leery.
It just really stood out to me.
And then there's and we can't spoil it, but the final scene, all I'd say about the final scene,
it's awful.
Involving Matt LeBlanc was
awful.
Also misjudged, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
it was
awful.
Too much. And what I find interesting is this is a co-production with the BBC and Showtime in America, and Showtime is one of those like HBO, and almost they pride themselves in Showtime, I have to say, in showing sex stuff and swearing. It's like, that's our thing. We're a non-network. We're not like NBC. Mm-hmm. And I felt there was too much of that in this episode, and it just felt
wrong.
Do you
know what that says to me, though? Like, it's a bit of a scraping of the back, like just going for the easy,
I don't think they were necessarily, but I just think they misjudged it. I mean, I know what you mean. It could come across that way. I don't think they were deliberately scraping the barrel. I just felt they misjudged the element of this episode. And I assure you, the previous four seasons were like this.
Really?
It deals with adult stuff. There's swearing in it, and there's funny stuff about Matt LeBlanc's behaviour. But this felt different, and I did think it was weird.
Do you know what I'd rather watch?
And what would you rather watch?
Paint Dry.
Just suggesting that as well.
Matt LeBlanc having a shower?
I'd rather we rewatch. I'm going to find it. It must be available somewhere. The Comeback with Lisa Kudrow as the washed up actor. Because, you know, it's a similar kind of thing.
God. Like, the Comeback's legendary.
Yeah, so she's like a washed up actress and game show. What was she? Like a talk show?
She was a version of herself. Yeah, she was
Of herself.
She'd been in a long running sitcom. Yeah,
but it was just so funny. Brilliant. So on point. I know it only lasted one season, so maybe.
Two. There was a very belated second season. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which really infuriatingly, you can't get on DVD, I don't think. Still,
really?
It's unbelievable. It's so weird. Yeah, it was.
So, but that just felt like it was quality rather than like eking it out to five series and letting it just kind of,
I kind of agree with that.
Dire,
yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. I love Mangan, and I love in Thames and Greg. I love her in Friday Night.
Dinner.
She's
fabulous.
Great,
in Friday
but
Night
I do
dinner.
Think. This was,
they weren't
getting,
given enough good material.
No, they weren't. They weren't. I agree.
It's
with
not
that,
your yeah. fault, you two. It's someone else's fault, and we don't know that person's name.
Yeah, true. Those are out. That's the meat.
Yeah, but what rating are we going to give it, Boyd?
Good
because
point.
That is an essential
we
part
do
of the
have
show.
To do ratings. Do you know what? You're absolutely right. It's like almost, I'm tired, I've lost it, I can't focus anymore. Episodes begins next Friday. Good Friday.
Will it be a good Friday?
Not for this comedy.
BBC Two, 10 o'clock.
Mediocre.
I'm going to give it 3 stars.
I also am giving it 3 stars.
I think you're both being over generous.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not super
give
terrible.
Us the stars of truth, come on then.
The stars of truth say 2.5. Okay. And we are allowed 0.5.
0.5 you're allowed.
0.55, it's not your erratic 3.82.
Yeah.
It was a 7.5, it was a 3/4.
Do you know what time it is now?
It's question time.
I tried to do it like a game show host then. Did you notice?
Oh, yeah. Very good.
So I thought, so this week I've come up, I came up with, no, I don't think, yeah, I came up with, because I couldn't decide what question, so I've gone through a general, it's a triple whammy. It's a triple whammy.
Let me read this out with this question.
Oh, let me explain, but before you do, my justification is there are three iconic TV stars whose shows were reviewed this week. Hence.
Okay. Boyd's just written on this piece of paper, best thing about Idris, Eccleston or LeBlanc?
I mean, fair enough, isn't it?
Boyd, we've got to maintain our standards.
Don't
Come on.
So you can, you can choose which one.
Yeah, which one? I've your best favourite thing. Because the reason I do this is, I can't win. If I'd have said, choose me a favourite thing about Eccleston, you would have gone, no, you don't know him in the
A word. Boyd, we do not tolerate you doing impressions of us, even though they are spot on. Right.
Steph. Would you like to go first?
Are you thinking?
You go first.
I've got mine. Okay.
You go first.
I'll go mine. Cause, right, so obviously Joey from Friends, Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah.
Exceptional in everything he did in Friends.
And in the Joey spin-off?
Not so much. So season 5, episode 12, one of my favourite moments is when Joey learns how to do air quotes, but he completely gets it wrong because he doesn't know. Like, everyone does it to him and he's never known what it means. And he has this fight with Ross because he's proposed to Rachel and he's trying to learn how to do it. And then in the fight, Ross accidentally, because Joey tells him, punch me, get your anger out, punch me. And then Ross goes to punch him and Joey ducks at the last minute and Ross smashes his hands against a pillar and Joey just goes, oops, and with the...
In air quotes.
He doesn't get it. It's not as funny as seeing on TV. It's a bit like Sid's dream, Sid Siddiqui's dream.
God.
Please, please YouTube it.
Right. Okay.
Good choice, Steph.
Right. I'm going to say Idris. The best thing about Idris is obviously Luther, without a doubt.
Well, I'm about to contradict you, so...
Well, you'll be wrong, but I will carry on. Eccleston, I actually really liked him in...
The A word.
Oh, we really liked him in the A word, actually.
Oh, you're just listing his IMDb now?
No, I was just going to say, Wikipedia I can't remember the name of it. You know that icy drama, Sky One drama, when they're in the... And he's only in it for one...
Yeah.
He's really good in that.
Oh,
Fortitude.
I thought he was very good in that.
Well done, yeah. John Dan.
And Matt LeBlanc, I mean, can you really be... Actually,
you don't have to think up one for each one.
No, I'm being thorough. do you know what? I'm going to say, actually, I don't mind Matt LeBlanc on Top Gear. I think he's very good on Top Gear.
Yeah, I like Chris Evans on Top Gear.
I like Chris Evans on Top Gear, but that's a whole show.
No, we'll do a whole show on that.
Yeah.
No, right.
quick turnaround.
No, Idris Elba was...
Reverse ferret.
Idris Elba, of course... The thing that established his legend, The Wire, Stringer Bell. And it is incredible. He was so good as Stringer Bell in The Wire.
Everyone's forgotten that it was him.
Well, no, people slightly forgotten it was him, but people didn't even realise he was British. You know, he became this huge... He was so authentic in that role. I was showing this picture from... Look how cool he looks. Look in it. I'm showing the picture now.
I can't believe you went...
Doesn't even look like him.
I can't believe you just said, look how cool he looks.
He was so authentic. It was incredible. And obviously, and The Wire, I'm not one of those people who thinks The Wire is the best thing ever, because I actually think season 2 or 3, whatever, the Doc season. So there was a theme of everything.
The Doc season was rubbish.
So boring.
I've got to confess that I haven't watched The Wire.
There's nothing to be ashamed of. No, there is something to be ashamed of.
But
she hasn't watched The Wire.
No, but fair enough. I mean,
Steph hasn't read a book.
I would say skip season 2 completely.
Reading is not... fun.
Reading not fun. What a great message to our younger listeners.
Hey, listen, if there are 16-year-old art students listening,
see
Morris, please don't listen
read
to Steph.
More.
On that controversial bombshell, I think it's time to wrap it up, isn't it? We've been going for hours. I've got to go, do a BAFTA jury soon. I've got magazines to put out, too.
Bong.
It's the thanks for our 50th. That is our 50th. Episode. That's what I'm trying to say.
And if you want to thank us,
I think we're all agreed.
Thank us, then all you need to do is just hit up that iTunes, my friend.
Specifically, if 26 of you want to thank us, that'd be great.
Let's go through those stats just one last time. 26 reviews we need.
Oh my god,
that's 4 a week. Okay, just 4 a week.
Thank you very much for listening. For
5 a week.
Oh my god,
5 a week. That's correct.
Sorry,
John's head slammed his head on the table.
I can't believe Cave Orpi was extending this.
I'll always extend it for a review.
How long
are
we going on for, John? I can't even say.
It's not even numbers anymore. No. It's just a physical shake of the head.
Apologies. It's a goodbye from me.
It's a goodbye from me.
And it's a goodbye. Please review us. Goodbye. Goodbye. And please review us from me.